Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're the new generation. The new generation. And we believe now. We believe.
We believe.
It's a televised revolution. We want democracy. We fight all oppression. We're tired of murder and greed. We want our freedom. Like the Statue of Liberty, we want to see our children live better than you and me. The whole city is a dance floor. It's a celebration for the whole world to see. Things are really changing. From Africa to Asia, through Europe, across the sea, everybody's got their head up, ain't nobody's on their knees, and the bombs have stopped lying, and we gave the quiet sky, and we stand in love and wonder, as a miracle goes by, and it ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was, we're the new generation, we believe in us. We believe in
new. We believe in new.
We believe in new.
We believe in new.
We believe in new. We believe in the new generation. Now we're sharing our money. Now we're helping tough lives. Now we're calling up our brothers, saying I apologize. Love is stronger than the Terminator. Love's in every baby's eyes. You're crawling out of that dirty gutter. With tuxedos on your mind. You want a glass of champagne. You want it paid for by the vein. Shout your national anthem for all your countrymen that died in vain. You're the new prince ruler, the Red Dawn Cairo King, an international inspiration, the number one topic most trending. And now the bombs have stopped flying, and we gaze at quiet sky, and we stand in love and wonder. As a miracle go by, and it ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. We believe in us.
We believe new.
Now you can't get between us. We're connected like mother and child. It's a worldwide network. You better log on before you die. Cause the old God is over. And the new way is baptized. And now we're storming through the palace. Singing, dancing, you know why. Waving peace flags on the balcony. Yeah, we just changed history. Here we all join hands. And thank God for listening.
With daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it.
for my brothers with daughters. I saw my daughter send a letter to some boy her age who locked up. First I regretted it, then caught my rage. Like, how could I not protect her from this awful fate? Never tried to hide who I was, she was taught and raised like a princess, but while I'm on stage I can't leave her defenseless. Plus she see me switching women, poppers on some pimp shit. She heard stories of her daddy thugging. So if her husband is a gangster, can't be mad, I love her. Never, for her I want better. Homie in jail, dead dad. Wait till he come home, you can see where his head's at. Niggas got game, they be trying to live. He seen your mama crib, plus I'm sure he know who your father is. Although you real, plus the honest kid. Don't think I'm slow, I know you probably had that chronic lid. You 17, I got a problem with it. She look at me like I'm not the cleanest father figure, but she rockin' with it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. This morning I got a call, nearly split my rig. The social network said, Nah, go and get your kid. She's on Twitter, I know she ain't gon' post no pic of herself underdressed, no inappropriate shit, right? Her mother cried when she answered, said she don't know what got inside this child's mind. She planted a box of condoms on a dresser, then she Instagrammed it. At this point I realize I ain't the strictest parent. I'm too loose, I'm too cool with her. Should've drove more time to school with her. I thought I dropped enough jewels on her. Took her from private school so she can get a balance to public school. They too nurture teen talent. They grow fast. One day she's your little princess. Next day she's talking boy business. What is this? They say the coolest players is silent heartbreakers in the world. God gets us back, he makes us have precious little girls. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. And I ain't trying to mess your thing up, but I just want to see you dream up. I finally understand, it ain't easy to raise a girl as a single man. Nah, the way mothers feel for their sons, how fathers feel for their daughters. When he date, he straight, chip off his own papa. When she date, we wait behind the door with a sword off, cause we think no one is good enough for our daughters. Love.
Jabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners, murals that salute freedom or death for liberty, be it Inglewood or Egypt, Bed-Stuy or Baghdad, Syria or Liberia, the West Bank or the West Side of Chicago, where food and liquor stores still occupy the block, while police and community watchmen justify why they shot Emmett Till, Malice Green, Rekia Boyd, and Trayvon Martin, better not wear that hoodie while shopping for a carton of whatever they're selling in your food desert, because your soul is dessert and will be dissected and consumed on the Fox Evening News while we sing the blues the new Jim Crow caged bird sings, because he's tired of occupying his misery and of our marching. He want to fly to a higher consciousness, but his school on academic probation, they gave him medicine, diagnosed him with a felony and mental retardation, so he refuses to cease the firing. Nobody's hiring. In Illinois, 67 is a new age when you retiring. Class lines have blurred. Those who used to have not. Pensions being snatched. Those who never had keep their hands stretched. Social services being cut. Sterilization clinics giving out pills to numb the womb. Young girls referring to their vaginas as tombs. Thinking protests are temporary and trendy. Will rock a t-shirt and carry a poster and 2 weeks later it's back to normal. But they say times are changing. The revolution is becoming second nature. Causes are combining. People carrying torches, hope burning from their hands. Attaching explosive devices because they keep stealing their lands. In the name of freedom. Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks. Teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners.
You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony Nix. I'm your host and founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Welcome to tonight's show and discussion. Tonight is part two of Malcolm Shabazz. What happened? Was he robbed? Was he assassinated? What's your view? What do you know? We got 2 hours to hear from everyone. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue. Also, please be aware of background noise when you call in because it is being taped, and we'd like to get a clear taping. I want to apologize for Sunday night. I don't know. There was some kind of technical issue. The show just shut off abruptly. Hopefully, we won't have to go through that tonight. The chat room is open. Feel free to go in, leave your comments. We'll share them over the air, or we'll reply to them in the chat room. Also, we're going to be talking about the indictment of black politicians across the nation. Is it conspiracy or is it corruption? This is what we're talking about tonight, listeners. Feel free to chime in. We're talking about Malcolm Shabazz. This is part two, due to the fact that we had an abrupt ending on Sunday night due to some type of technical issue, which was out of my hands. There was nothing I could really do about it. Again, the call-in number is 424-258-9271. We're going to kick this thing off in just a moment. I'll be back right after this. Oh, sorry about that. I was delayed getting back to you people here who are listening tonight. You're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony V. Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in the Big Apple, New York City, Southeast Queens, Jamaica, New York. Holler if you hear me. Tonight, we're doing part two of Malcolm Shabazz, and we're also talking about the indictments and arrest of black politicians across the nation. Is it a conspiracy or is it corruption? This is what we're talking about tonight. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. If you choose not to talk, don't press 1. Just listen. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to go in and leave your comments, and I will read them over the air, or I will answer them myself. Okay, we're going to go right to the phone lines, and I'm seeing the brother who I want to apologize to openly in front of everybody for what happened Sunday evening, because this brother, I got to tell you, he gives it to you straight up, no chaser, no cut, pure. Hold on to your seats, get ready, because I'm about to bring him on. Let me welcome brother Mike X.
Hey, brother Mike,
how you doing? Good evening, how are you?
I'm here. I'm good, brother. How you doing today,
man? I'm great. I'm a little tired, but I'm great. You know, I'm so glad you came back tonight. Because the other night you were right in the middle of it, and it was like, you know, excuse the way I'm going to put it. You know, when you're having sex and you're just about to get there, and then some kind of major interruption, and you know what I'm saying? That frustrated feeling kicks in, man. I'm so glad you came back, man, to continue to share with us what you was bringing, man, because you were really bringing it. You was giving solutions, and that's what we need, because we know the problem. You know, we need solutions, and Mike X, you got solutions. You know, and I got to tell you, man, myself and others are really feeling you and where you're coming from, because I've gotten calls from folks like, who's that brother? You know, and I'm like, listen, this cat is about it, all right? So, you know, feel free to continue. The mic is open. You got the floor.
Okay, brother. Well, first let me, return the thanks to you for even providing a forum. We need more forums like this. We need them as consistently as possible. And, you know, all praise is due to the Most High, man. You know, I'm living here. I'm here by God's grace. And whatever I know, you know, I'm blessed to know, you know. You know, I study, you know, like I'm supposed to on a regular basis, like we all are supposed to, so that we can be of, you know, some type of benefit to our people, you know, to those who went before us and those who are here and those who are to come. So I just wanted to say that briefly. I'm just going, you know, brother, to reemphasize, you know, it doesn't make no sense whatsoever, you know, for us to have black politicians if they're not black, if they don't act black, if they don't talk black, if they don't represent black. You know, as far as I think, you know, it's a corruption, brother. It's a corruption. And the corruption is born of an absenteeism on the part of the people. You know, it has to be like it's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship between politicians and the citizenry. The politicians are supposed to serve in those bodies, whether it's the city council, whether it's the state assembly, whether it's the state senate, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the, you know, the Senate, the big Senate, you know, and on up the ladder. They're supposed to serve the needs, wants, and concerns of their people. It's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship. They're supposed to be answerable to people who elect them. And a lot of times what's going on in our neighborhoods is large bodies of people, you know, are being left out of the loop. You know, particularly, you know, if you know, speaking on behalf of the neighborhood that I grew up in the Northeast Bronx, New York City, you know, the people in the projects, they're left out of the loop. You know, I live in a community that's described as an upper middle class neighborhood with pockets of poverty. And the pockets of poverty is a politically correct term for the projects. You know, I grew up in Eden War Houses, the third largest housing development in New York City. And, you know, the people in the projects are absolutely being left out and ignored. And what these people fail to realize is like Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. You know, if you leave large people out of the loop, the disintegration, you know, the pessimism, you know, the negativity, you know, the, you know, those low standards, they're not just going to stay put, you know, they're going to infect the whole, you know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of these politicians, like I said, we've had three black politicians in this area locally, you know, the city council, the state assembly and the state senate for upwards of 20 years. And they have no program whatsoever. They are afraid, you know, to come out and be black. You know, meanwhile, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Latino neighborhoods, they have no fear, you know, to spread their culture. And I don't have any problem with that. You know what I mean? You look in other communities, whether it's Italian, whether it's Korean, so on and so forth, they have no fear in representing, you know, their racial, ethnic, you know, geographic, you know, community. But when it comes to us, brother, they have no program. You know what I mean? They have no program. They have no heart, you know, to try to represent for us. And I dare say, I say again, they shouldn't serve if they're not going to represent the community that they come from racially, ethnically, and geographically. They shouldn't serve. And instead of serving the people, a lot of times, yo, these people is getting caught with their hands in the cookie jar, brother. You know, we one of the elected officials up here where I'm at was indicted by the feds. They was tracking his brother since the 90s. And, you know, he was looking like the black, what do you call his brother? The Teflon Don, Gotti. He was looking like him. He kept getting out from under it. But finally, I guess, you know, it was just too much. I guess they was waiting for him to do, you know, for that last straw. And they indicted him and they convicted him. And I don't know if he has appealed it. You know, I haven't been following it. But, you know, but he was knocked out of office. And, you know, they had a special election. And, you know, I'm not gloating, but I'm saying, yeah, great. That's what's up. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we can't be so emotionally connected that we don't deal with the real, you know? You know,
exactly.
We got to be real. We got to be practical, you know?
Exactly.
It's not about emotionalism. It's not, you know, what good does it do me to run around saying, oh, we got a black politician? Like I said, if that black politician is not doing things for the black community, you know what I mean? So, you know, I just say again on that note, brother, yeah, I can't speak across the nation. You know what I mean? But I'm willing to bet you, you know, that it's the same conditions that are going on in my part, you know, of New York City. I bet you it's the same things that's going on. And what's the solution?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, not trying to be rude or cut you off. I just wanted to share a little something. You know, you're talking about what's going on up there in the Bronx. You know, I'm out here in Southeast Queens. And the political machine right now is in shambles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got a prominent senator who wore a wire, and she brought down several other politicians besides herself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the word is now, you know, see, I told you so by the constituents in the surrounding communities, in the districts.
Mm-hmm.
And, also, you know, this is the real insane part about this, okay? Now they're crying, oh, now you're going to get white politicians, they're going to come in and be running things. You know, well, whose fault is that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is that? Because you come in here, you're supposed to represent the people, and you're not doing that. You got this one for one attitude and none for all. Okay? So now here we are. All right? No representation. Okay? You wasn't doing what you were supposed to from the very beginning. And now you want to cry. Now you want to cry. Well, you know, I'm a believer in God, you know? And God will expose you in time. God will expose you in time. You know the ills of our community. You know you're not addressing it. Okay? And then when you're approached about the ills in the community, it's a song and a dance. Oh, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, what do we need to have you in office for, and why are we paying taxes that pay your salary?
That's right.
You know, that's my whole trip on that, you know. If you're not for the people, then you don't need to be in office, okay? We have more, what's the word, urgencies besides new garbage cans, a stop sign over here, you know, not when we got children murdering each other on a daily basis in our communities, okay?
That's right.
And that is not being attacked the way that it should be attacked. And that's just the way I see it. Now, folks may disagree and want to throw politics in it, but this is about people and lives.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to hear about no politics, the bottom line, you know? And I truly believe from this moment on, from this moment in the five boroughs of New York City, we need to make some policies as a people that if you get elected, there's certain things you're going to have to account for. And it needs to be documented. And if you do not follow the document, out you go. Bottom line, out you go. Because this get in and do what you want, it needs to stop. Because our communities cannot afford that. We need leadership.
Sure.
But at the same time, okay, as we hold them accountable, it's time for us to be accountable, to get involved, to make them accountable.
That's right.
See, that's the other part. There's a two-part there. You know what I'm saying? Because the
exactly.
only way they're going to be held accountable if we start to be accountable for holding them accountable.
That's right.
And, you know,
that's right.
So, you know, it's not just on them, Mike, you know. Mike, I don't want
of
you thrown away. Please, if you can, I hope you're going to be around for a minute. I'm going to leave your mic and my mic is going to be the only mic open as I bring in other callers. I want to bring in, he's a friend and a mentor. He's coming out of the West Coast. I want you to welcome a good friend of mine, Dr. Edgar J. Scott. Good evening, Doc. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, bro.
Peace.
Say hello to Mike X, Doc.
Hi, Mike. How you doing, bro?
Hey, bro. I'm good. How you doing, bro?
Yeah, doing good. Just listening to Mike. Just listening to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Doc, you know, we're talking about Malcolm Shabazz. This is part two because we was talking about it on Sunday, but the show ended abruptly. I don't know, due to some kind of technical issue, and it was out of my hands. There was nothing I could do. But as you know, Malcolm X's grandson was killed, and we don't know if it was an assassination or was he just got robbed. You know, plus we're talking about politicians, black politicians across the nation who are being indicted for various crimes. Is it a conspiracy or is it just straight up corruption? So what's your view on that, Doc, on both issues?
Wow, that's a tough one, Tony.
Well, I'll go with give me your view on Malcolm Shabazz and you know, and his untimely death. You know, what's your view on that?
Well, I'll give you an overall view on where I think Africans living in America are. And I'll give it to you in a general sense. And Dr. Barbara Sizemore says it best. she says it better than I can say it. And the way she says it is blacks just don't get it. And they really don't understand the system that we're in. And from my perspective, after almost 400 years, we're always looking to blame someone for our condition. And so for me, that's part of the problem. And so for me, getting out of the blame game and just really taking a look at where we're at, there's some things that I have to take a look at. First of all, when I look at Brother Malcolm, and you look at black and white, since we are so not bright from my perspective, we can't seem to understand that the oldest living remains have been found in Africa. They call her African Eve, and everybody came from her. So it makes no difference about the color of your skin. We're all black, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't make any difference if you have blonde hair, blue eyes, you're still black. But we can't seem to get out of that color thing. But that's okay. You know, stupid people everywhere. So when I look at it, getting out of the blame game for me personally, it wasn't white people that killed Brother Malcolm. It was people that looked like me that killed Brother Malcolm. So I accept that. I accept that as a fact. And so we can get into the blame game and say, well, it was other people that paid them to do it or whatever we want. I can't get into that. I just have to say folks that look like me killed him. And then when I look at that, I can say, how far up the chain did that go with these folks that look like me? And they took their orders from someplace, and you can draw your own conclusions. And I've drawn my own conclusions. And so getting out of the blame game, you know, I think is a first step that you have to take. It's a first step that I've taken. And so I'm not blaming anyone. And I'm not into a color thing about what this whole deal is about. And the brother was talking about being black. At this point in my life, I really don't know what that is at this point in my life. Because to me, that looks pretty distorted. Because we have really not established ourselves in a very positive light from my perspective. And we really need to redefine what that looks like. I think there's a human condition that should be inclusive, and it has nothing to do with color. As long as we keep using color as a definer, we're going to be in deep trouble. And so I think we have a tough time looking at our leaders and accepting that they're corrupt, especially if they have a different hue. And from my perspective, a lot of them are corrupt. And that's just the way they are. They are corrupt. So that's my quick synopsis on it. I'm not blaming anybody. The human condition, we're spirit beings having a human experience as opposed to being human having a spiritual experience. We've got this thing all messed up. And so that's my quick take on it. So,
well, let me ask you a question, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as Malcolm Shabazz dying, being killed the other day, the grandson of Malcolm X. Do you, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Because of who he was and the potential that I feel he had to gather the masses, do you think that played a part in why he's dead now?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And here's why. When you, let's just take it all away from color. Let's not put color in the mix at all. Let's just take it from an energetic perspective. Let's just go positive and negative. Anytime you have positive and negative forces at work in the universe, you're going to have conflict. And when you have that conflict and a struggle for power, you're going to have this type of issue. And when you have someone that is bringing truth to the forefront, brother, you are in trouble. You can expect it. It comes with the territory. You might not be on this planet for a long time. It just comes with the territory. Sorry about that. Hate to say that. It just comes with the territory. Does that answer your question?
Yep. Yeah, well, it does. It does. You know, I mean, I feel like there's more to it, but I understand what you're saying, Doc. I truly understand what you're saying. Hold on a second, Doc. Don't go anywhere. Got a sister on the line. She's been holding on for a minute, and I want to bring her in. And that's Sister Nicole. Good evening, Sister. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Welcome to tonight's discussion. Of course, I know you know we're talking about the untimely death of Malcolm Shabazz and politicians across the nation who are being arrested and indicted for various crimes. Is it conspiracy or corruption? Your mic is open. Feel free.
Is everybody mic open? Because I would like to say hi to everyone.
Well, everyone can hear you, but everyone's mic is not open.
Okay.
But you know what? For the moment, it's only a small group of us, so I'm going to open everybody's mic. So Mike X, his mic is open, and so is Doc Scott.
Okay. So, well, good evening, everyone. I've been listening, and I'm going to say a little. Because I feel that we do get it. We understand what's going on. I think a lot of us have educated ourselves, and we come from 400 years ago to today and where we stand now. And the state of the people is really a sad one. And we're going to talk about I'm going to bring up a couple of points here. Yes, we have the human being, right? And then we have the human state of the human being, and that is race, and that is black, white, red, yellow, and then you have the culture in which the human being defines itself and identify itself in shape and form, and that's the Asian American or Asian, the Chinese, the Europeans, the British, African Americans, Africans, or whatever have you, and the sad part about us as Africans, I'm going to say, is that we as Africans do not come together for the many years of division that we have been introduced to. We first have to be able to identify with each other, accept and relate to one another, before we can come to the state of humanity, because we are not living in a humane world. That is not what we're living in. And although that is God's decreed will for us to understand that we are all one, created in his image, loved by him, given this world, that is not what we're living in when you're speaking to the fact of us as human beings. in a human being state. About Malcolm's grandson, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that, but I must say it's no surprise because of the legacy he carries, his grandfather carries, and that he ultimately carries by default. And it's not a coincidence. It's not a conspiracy. It wasn't an untimely thing. They were waiting for the right time. A lot of people were jealous of Malcolm, not what his potential was, his influence, because potential and influence are two different things. Potential is what is seen to be able to do. Influence is what you can do to others and make them move. And when you have a nation of people wanting to be like you regardless of color, yes, you are a threat. We have been living in this imperial system since the biblical days. This is nothing new. This treatment of slavery and oppression is nothing new. We were just easier targets because we allowed ourselves to be. We are easier influenced. And the point here is, how do we get a culture of people to accept themselves and be okay with who they are and not be afraid of power regardless? And it's all right to sacrifice. Sacrifice is what Jesus did for us. David, Isaac, Noah, Abraham, everybody sacrificed. In the biblical days, that's what it is. This is what life is. And the doctor's right. When you are about righteousness, regardless of color and physicality, for some reason people are going to hate you. And that's just the nature of the beast. And let me introduce you to something of why it is. Because when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God, sin came into play. You see, you have to go to the root of the things of why we are who we are and why we act the way we act. And people may see that as far-fetched. But when you are educated with the third eye, you see the connection. And I'm not saying that anyone else isn't. I'm just pointing you to the understanding why we are who we are as human beings. And people of such disorientation, because we all are. We all are in our sixth sense. When you vote for someone because he's black, you cannot say you're different from your counterpart.
Good point.
Yeah, you really can't. If you expect a man to be in position in a position and just look out for his people, you can't say he's different from his counterpart, and you can't say you are either. So,
Mike,
you know,
you want to comment on that? I'm sorry, are you finished?
Yes, go ahead, I'll stop.
Mike, you want to comment on that, Mike X?
Yeah, there's a few things, and, you know, peace to my sister, Nicole.
Oh, yeah, hey, brother.
Hey, first and foremost, and, you know, also peace to the doc, you know. And, you know, it's okay for us to have perspectives that are directly connected to our experiences, you know, our life, you know, our studies and what have you. There are so many bases that need to be covered that is good that everybody's not cut from the same exact cloth, because if we was all speaking the same message, then it would leave a lot of ground uncovered. So, you know, I'm going to unite with everyone here in my own special and unique way. First, let me say that, number one, I'm a black man. As a human being, I'm a black man, you know. And what that means is that I come from a unique experience. I come from a unique people who have a history of struggle. That is still in effect today, that needs to be addressed, and it needs people who feel free to address their struggle and don't feel like they have to kowtow, don't feel like they have to apologize or, you know, or come in directly or bend over or whatever. I say unapologetically as a human being, I'm a black man. And as a black man, my life is dedicated to striving to wake up my people so that they can begin to see why they are in the position that they've that they are in right now, you know, through having a strong understanding of history and what was done to us and what, you know, what efforts we made on our own behalf and how it has got us to this point. You can't understand the present if you don't understand your past. And if you don't understand your present, there's no way that you can chart a course, an intelligent course into the future that will be beneficial to you and your kind. So first and foremost, I say that I'm a black man, and I make no apologies for it. Now, on a spiritual level, I believe that, you know, that there is a creator. I'm not into, you know, I don't allow myself to be pigeonholed into the Christian faith, the Islamic faith, the Jewish faith, the African ancestry. I believe in it all. And at one point in time, if I'm blessed to live enough, long enough, I'm going to have a strong understanding of all of those philosophies because I'm first and foremost a student, an open-minded student, you know, and I don't, you know, get into, you know, fighting over philosophies, you know, as long as we're doing things in a way that, you know, we can all benefit from, I'm cool with that. Now, let me say this first and foremost, when we're talking about Brother Malcolm Shabazz and we're talking about the possibility that he was assassinated. The main reason why Malcolm Shabazz at his young age would be targeted for assassination is because of the fear generated from the grandfather. So if we're going to talk about the grandson, we have to talk about the grandfather, and we have to have a strong understanding of his significance. I believe that Brother Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, was one of our greatest, if not most important, leaders, you know, coming out of the 50s and 60s. I believe that if his philosophy is studied today, it is one of the most practical philosophies for the black people in this country. It is a philosophy of community control, you know. We should be in control of our politics. We should be in control of our economics. We should be in control of the education. We should be in control of our social arrangements as a people. Everything in our community, we should either be in direct control of it or at least have significant say-so over it. The way that we get there is we get there by building an intelligent unity and organization amongst one another, not one that is based upon, you know, charisma. You know, we gonna follow one person because they speak so nice and eloquent. You know, they, you know, when you look at them, they look like a leader. Nah, no more of that. You know what I mean? We need each and every one of us to strive to gain some type of understanding, a strong perspective of why we're in the condition that we're in and what needs to be done to get us out of it. It won't work if it only comes from one person. We've already seen that formula doesn't work. You know, all you got to do is kill that person. All you got to do is imprison that person. All you got to do is find a way to buy off that person and the movement is over. No, we need a perspective when we all have an understanding of, you know, what needs to be done on a practical level within our communities. As far as Malcolm X is concerned, a few books, if I can mention them right quick, you know, to talk about theories on what happened to him, you need to be able to read authors like Baba Zak Kondo, Z-A-K-K-O-N-D-O. He wrote a groundbreaking book back in the 90s. It's called Conspiracies, Unraveling the Assassination of Malcolm X, an expert opinion, you know, filled with a thick bibliography, you know, exploring that whole, you know, like the brother said, Malcolm was killed by black people, but it wasn't just as easy as black people killing him. Malcolm represented a threat on a few levels. And you got to understand Malcolm if you want to understand the assassination, possibly alleged, of the grandson. You got to understand Malcolm if you want to understand the concept of us taking control of our community. You know, when the brother says that he doesn't see himself as black, well, okay, that's cool for the brother. You know, I can relate on a spiritual level. As a matter of fact, my particular study process at this point is more spiritual in nature. But that's me. You know, that's what I'm doing for myself behind closed doors. That's between me and the God that I believe in, like Malcolm said. But when it comes to striving to build a practical community, I have to represent myself as a black man. You know what I mean? I put my spiritual, you know, I keep it in the closet, or I keep it between me and my God. It fuels me to continue to grow in my own personal life. But when it comes to my brothers and sisters that I live around every day who are falling through the many cracks because of ignorance and spiritual poverty and capitalism and greed and all of those things, I have to find a way to try to wake them up first. I can't wake them up to the level that I'm on. I can't come to them with the spiritual understanding that I'm building, because first they have to be able to see themselves as human beings. Malcolm X said one of the many things that he said, but one of the greatest things that he ever said, according to me, he said, our greatest mistake in the past is we've strived to organize a sleeping people around specific goals. First, you have to wake them up, and then you'll get some action. He was asked by the reporter, wake them up to what? Their oppression? He said, no, to their human dignity, to their own self-worth. We have, you know, you see what I'm saying? We don't have to wake our people up to the fact that they're being done dirty, to the fact that there's oppression and corruption. They already know that. The problem is they've accepted it. They've accepted corruption. They've accepted exploitation and oppression because they don't believe that they are on the same level, you know, as white people and others. They don't look upon themselves with the same dignity and self-respect that these other people do. And until we can find a way to help our people to look upon themselves with the same dignity and self-respect that other people have, they're going to continue to accept the corruption and exploitation and everything else that is heaped upon us. So first you got to wake them up to their humanity. You know what I mean? And when I say that humanity, you know, I'm not just talking about, you know, we are the world humanity. I believe that we have to help our people, we have to teach them about their black selves, because that's the root that they come from. If we're the only ones who are trying to be human beings and everybody else is trying to carve out some type of space, you know, as a Jewish American, as a Korean American, as an Italian American, you know, then, and they're not operating with the humanity. We're coming to them with human love and compassion, and they're coming at us with greed, you know what I mean, and separation. We're going to get lost in the shovel, in the shuffle. You see what I'm saying? So we can't just do that. You know, we have to, you know, let us awaken ourselves to being black first, you know, so that we can begin to carve out communities amongst ourselves of ownership and maintenance and self-respect. And as we do that, now we'll be able to sit at the table. Malcolm said, you know, he said, I'm not an American. He said, he said, 10 people could be sitting at the dining table and I could be sitting there with nothing on my plate. I can't call myself a diner even though I'm sitting at a dining table. I can't call myself a diner until I have something on my plate on which I can dine. So this is why we have to start with ourselves. And it's not racism. It's not hatred for anybody else. It's just us knowing and going by a practical process. And the process starts with us reclaiming our humanity.
Hello? Yeah, Tony? Really quick, before we go on, I just want to say this. Me and Brother Mike, we have a lot of intensive talks, and I want to just really quick point out a couple of things when we say power. Words is power. First and foremost, when you're speaking Italian, Jews, and such of that, you're speaking of a culture. These people act within a culture. They stick within their practices, within a European and colonial system that we are in, and they stick together upon their culture. So what they do is that They know how to greet one another. They know how to communicate with one another. They know how to behave within that culture. And that's something that we don't have, if you want to speak race, as blacks. And really, there are a lot of black people. You have a lot of dark-colored people. However, everyone is not of an African culture. And I believe we've all are cross-referencing and saying the same thing, but what's missing here and what we refuse to talk about is that we have, back in slavery days, we've had a culture. Okay, we saved one another, we went to church with one another, we made sure our families were intact, you know, regardless to how fathers felt, they stayed in their position. Women stayed in their position, and they did what they need to do. But in order for us to be, we need to be different. Because if we continue to replicate and mimic the same behavior, then you get this type of world.
Yeah.
And this is what you're getting. We have tried the pro-black. We have tried everything. And I love my forefathers. But look at where we are. We have not moved an inch. Let's be honest about that. What we want to do is we want to have a culture where we should be righteously involved in every step of the process, in every step of the system. That's what we want to do. We don't want to control. We want to be involved. And I'm not going against. I just really, as I
said. You got to go, Doc? Hold on, stand by. Doc,
yeah,
you got to leave?
I'll hold on. I'll let the Doc come in first.
Go ahead, Doc, if you want to get you know, get some comments in before you go.
Well, there's just a couple things.
Go ahead, Doc. You got time.
I've said this for over 30 years. My wife and I have said this for 25. There's only one race. It's called human. And the sister has hit it right on the head. There's different cultures. There's only one race. It's called human. There's only one race. As long as we keep using the language of separation, we're in deep stuff. I call myself an African living in America. The brother, this is not enough time to try to have a conversation about where we're at. I call myself an African living in America. My ancestors came from Africa. I come from a tribe of people called the Kamba tribe. I know where I come from. You look at me and you know well who I am. I chose to come here from another planet in the skin I'm in. I believe everything. Christianity, Allah, Hinduism, I believe in all of it. You cannot put me in a box. I chose to come here. I don't let anybody put me in a box. And so people can get as offended as they want to with me. I don't care. The Bible is one of the great books, but all the books are great books as far as I'm concerned. If you don't know where you've been, you sure aren't going to know where you're going. I look at all people as black folks, all of them. I don't care what color skin you have. And so for me, it makes it real simple to operate in this world. But when I look at the other groups, the other cultural groups that are far ahead than we are, we've lost something. And I think my wife and I have done a lot of research on this. I think we know why we've lost something, or why we haven't progressed. We do a lot of talking, and yet we haven't moved very far. Now, in talking about Brother Malcolm, a lot of the statements that we've made about Brother Malcolm, there are lots of statements that he made before he made his trip to Mecca. It was before he made his trip to Mecca. When he got back from his trip to Mecca, he talked differently about color.
Mm-hmm.
he talked it differently. There was a different tone, and there was a different way that he talked. He was real different when he got back from Mecca, if you look at his readings and his writings. And I believe personally that a group of folks said, we got to get rid of this guy, because he was talking unity then. He was talking about, you know, we got to bring folks together. It was a difference. And any time you start talking about unity and bringing people together, you are going to make people upset. And my thing now, at this stage in my life, I've been through it all. I am an old dude, and I have stood up wherever I've been for folks that look like me and folks that don't look like me. At this point in my life, I don't care, because I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to stand up for all folks, because I think that's the right thing to do. I've always been that way, and I think separation from humankind is not the right thing to do. And so if that steps on anybody's toes, then so be it. But I think we've missed it. We're missing the boat. It's about love. It's not about hate. And so for me, I think let it fall wherever it falls. For me, it's about love. I'm tired of hate. Anything I can do to show love, I'm going to show you love. That's where I'm at. It's not about hate. And so for my folks that look like me, you got all the love I can give you. And anything I can help you with, I'm more than willing to help. But we got, first of all, my thing is stop the killing. We got to stop killing each other. And so I'm into that. What can we do to help our people stop killing each other? That's my number one goal before I stop sucking this air, before I get out. What can we do, because I still work with kids, what can I do to model for my people how to stop that? Other cultures have stopped it. How can I stop it with my folks that look like me? That's what I want to do now. That's all. Nothing else. I'm not trying to do anything else, but how can I stop that? That's all. That's my goal. How can I stop the anger for that? So that's all I got to say. I got to run. I don't have time to do the other stuff. And so, Brother Tony, thanks for this. Thank you. You other folks, love you. Young brother, about my brother Malcolm and all that, I don't have time to get into it. I'd like to spend some time with you talking. Brother Tony's got all of my info. Get on Amazon, read our book called Don't Want to Be the Only Black Bear by Edgar J. Scott, Ph.D. Good book. Read it. You'll like it.
Doc, thank you so much for taking the time out and coming and spend some time with us this evening. Please come back soon. You've been missed, and I'm so grateful you showed up tonight. Give my best to Kay, and looking forward
hey, yeah.
to talking to you real soon.
Hey, yeah, we only got a couple more weeks of work, and then we'll be able to get with you and kick a little hiney there, man. We'll be out of school here in about 2 weeks, and we can really kick. Tell a brother and sister we can really kick it there, because we have some time.
All right, Doc, again,
okay,
thank
love you,
you,
man.
Very much.
Hey, glad to be on. Thank you.
Okay, you're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. We're talking about Malcolm Shabazz, crooked politicians, or is it conspiracy? Our caller number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back with more callers.
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We was talking about television and doing it on the radio. What we did was to help our generation realize they got to get out there and get busy, because it wasn't going to be televised. We got respect for young rappers and the way they're freewaying. But if you're going to be teaching folks things, be sure you know what you're saying. Older folks in our neighborhood got plenty of know-how. Remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be out there now. And I ain't coming at you with no disrespect. All I'm saying is that you damn well got to be correct. Because if you're going to be speaking for a whole generation, and you know enough to try and handle their education, be sure you know the real deal about past situations and ain't just repeating what you heard on a local TV station. Sometimes they tell lies and put them in a truthful disguise. But the truth is, that's why we said it wouldn't be televised. They don't know what to say to our young folks, but they know that you do. And if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? The first sign is peace. Tell all them gun-toting young brothers that the man is glad to see us out there killing one another. We raised too much hell when they were shooting us down, so they started poisoning our minds and trying to jerk us all around. And then they tell us they got to come in and control our situation. They want half of us on dope and the other half in incarceration. If the ones they want dead ain't killed by what they instigated, they can put some dope on the brother's body and claim it was drug-related. Tell them drug-related means there don't need to be no investigation, or at least that's the way they're going to play it on the local TV station. All your 9mm brothers, give them something to think about. Tell them you heard that this is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they're feeling the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They're feeling real independent, but they just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally co-opted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down. Because we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes. And they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who's ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. We're talking about peace.
You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome to tonight's show. If you've been listening, wow, it's been really interesting, powerful, informative. My next caller who's on the line, I met this brother, I guess, a couple of years ago now. He's the street educator out of Brooklyn, New York. Join me in welcoming Brother Efren Cherry. Good evening, brother. How you there?
Good evening, Brother. Peace.
Hey, say hello to Mike X and Sister Nicole. Both of their mics is open.
Peace. It's peace. Peace to you too, brother.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said hello. How are you?
Blessed. Ever so blessed. just as much as all those that can understand and hear today. Ever so blessed. Wow, the topic on the floor this evening is very strong. I honor each and every one of you that's been speaking. Intelligently, we have an opportunity to sit down and psychologically weigh the realities of the very things that we are made of, the very things that we live by, the very things that we say what the values of life is going to be to us. And when I can hear some true intelligent minds saying what life has been to them, I'm honored, especially when it comes to my people. I'm truly honored. When I ask the mind, do you truly understand the psychological makeup of the biblical contents, a great number of my people are great, shall I say, quoters, but they are ignorant minds of understanding. When I turn back around and ask the next educated mind, what is the true essence of what Willie Lynch stood for? And you get a great number of people that sit back and they'll say, I read it, I heard it, and I understand it. But realistically, you can see that the true values of understanding is not in the souls of them intelligently. When I turn back around and I say that you really, really hear Malcolm X when he was making it very clear to you what life was saying to him, and you understand the history of him from the time he came out of his mama womb, if you intelligently had a chance to sit back and really weigh all of that, then you understand that just as he came from his mother womb in search of some sense of self-value, that is the realities of what the average mind of today is confronted with. And if it was not for that that came before him, here comes Garvey now. If it was not for the mind that came before Malcolm X, then Malcolm X would not have had the strength of anything to maintain his sanity to be able to even exist, live with self-worth, to go down in history to be as powerful of an intelligent mind that he is. When we all have an opportunity for us to really sit down and pay close attention to it, I'm going to tell you personally, I'm talking about me. It brings tears to your eyes. As a man, it breaks my heart to know that I'm a father and I have the realities of the war that we're confronted with. And now I see life today, which I couldn't see yesterday, and now intelligently weighing it, I recognize that if you can't reassure that child that there's a better opportunity for life, there's a better power, there's a better foundation that you have put together, and you run around here celebrating birth, you know, you realistically has already been sick in your mind to the point where Willie Lynch, I think that's what it is. Yeah, that might be it. Willie Lynch has captivated your brain so seriously strong to the stage that realistically we hate each other and we don't care what we do to one another. We don't even care what we do past the moments at which we feel good, which means you celebrate the birth of a child, but you ain't worried about that child so much as even making it to be 20 years old. And then knowing that we're open the jail systems, you proud to tell them that you just had birth and it's not just the boys going to jail, it's the girls going to jail? I'm talking to the intelligent. I'm talking to the well-informed. I'm talking to the most advanced human mind that's in motion of today. We don't recognize this, because if you tell me that you biblically understand before you even spoke of Jesus, that you spoke before you even spoke of Marcus Garvey, that you heard the biblical realities of that said, I cast Satan out of heaven. I don't remember reading anything in there psychologically as I weighed it that said that I sat there and negotiated with Satan and said, Satan, I am the creator. I'm going to let you remain in this heaven so that we can be able to say that you are part of me and I'm a part of you and we'll remain. And not only that, I'm going to trust you. The more you read the biblical contents of it before you go any further, Revelations or anything else, in the very beginning of it, the psychological weighing of it makes you understand that there are certain principles, there are certain values, there are certain laws that you have to live by, reassuring the next generation that this will be the qualities and values of life. But once you throw that out the window, it doesn't exist anymore. And here comes Revelations. Now, for those of them that don't agree with me, God bless you. But at the same time, do some more reading and put it together. When you put Revelation, I believe it's, let me see, I'm still in school here. You'll have to forgive me. But Revelation 17, and after you finish with Revelation 17 and 16, I need you to go back to see if you can understand what Willie Lynch really stood for. And once you get that down, let Malcolm explain to you how he felt when he looked into the eyes of those men that looked just like him as they were pulling the triggers. And then his family, his babies, had to see it. Had to see it. And how do we have such strongly divided, separated people of today, of this day, of this time, in this year, and we don't even like speaking to each other as we pass each other on the train? The highest murder rate in our communities. And then we have them giving us degrees to place upon the walls to say that we are advanced, educated minds from the universities. But humanly, you can sleep at night? This doesn't really hurt? Oh, my God.
Brother Efren, hold on a second. Because I know Sister Nicole and Brother Mike X have some words, and I'm going to go with Mike X first.
That's peace.
Hey. Peace, bro. Peace. You hear me, bro?
Yeah, we can hear you. Coming through clear.
Okay.
Yeah, you're there.
All right. Well, you know, this is not a contest, you know, of who can kick it, you know, who could go the deepest.
We're kicking it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't even feel, you know, the need to, you know, begin to be defensive or whatever. I just feel like, you know, we need to be on point, and we need to be on point in our neighborhoods where we live, you know, and I've done that, and I will continue to do that as long as I have life in me. I will continue to be the student that I've been for the last 23 years. I will continue to strive to rise and overstanding, you know, culture, politics, you know, economics, you know, education, love, you know, the doctor said some things, you know, before. I think this misconception, and we have to free ourselves from that as a people, you know, and the misconception goes like this, that it is somehow noble, you know, for you not to talk about race. It's somehow noble for you to forget about, you know, what was done, you know, in our past. You know, it's somehow noble. Or that you are, you know, being racist. If you do choose to talk about it, you know, that somehow you are a racist. You know, somehow you are an agitator. You know, you're playing the race card. You know, both between those two extremes, you know, we need to exist. You know, the same way another people can say never forget, and they can continue to go back and talk about the things that have been done to them in an attempt to, you know, to strengthen themselves, to empower themselves, and to be ever vigilant. I feel like we need to be able to do the same thing. You know, it was said that Malcolm changed after he went to Mecca. No, he didn't change. He just broadened. You know, he just broadened. You know, before he went to Mecca, you know, he cast blanket indictments on all white people. You know, he believed. Yeah, you can give it to him. He believed that if you are, you know, if you white, you was the devil. That's how he was taught. Pardon me for a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry, brother, because I'm at work right
now. Okay, yeah, continue.
But, you know, what I was saying, you know, he cast blanket indictments. That's the way he was trained in the organization that he was in. And when he went to Mecca and he met human beings, you know, who acted as human beings, it broadened his perspective. And he's decided that he would never live up under a blanket indictment, you know, again, you know. But in essence, he never changed. He was still, to the day he died, he was totally committed to strengthening, you know, the black community, the Afro-American, African in America community, to strive to rehumanize, you know, that people who caught it the worst of all peoples who had been enslaved. He knew that the African-American caught it the worst, that the African-American had been stripped of everything that makes him a human being, and that he could never exist in the midst of other cultures, you know, until he was rehumanized to that point by knowing his culture, by being reparated, you know, self-reparated, for, you know, from everything that had been taken. He knew that we can never sit at the table as an equal. And so he was totally committed to his last day, even though he had elevated himself to the level where he can unite and reason with people, you know, other human beings of different races and cultures. As a human being, he could do that. He knew that as long as the people that he came from were not elevated through going through the process that he had put himself through, that his job was never done. And I feel the same way. You know what I mean? I don't operate from hatred. You know what I mean? I operate from love, but I know that there are degrees of love. And first, love, if you don't love yourself, there's no way that you can love anybody else. So before I try to love and you know, go out and love all of these other different peoples, I have to commit myself to striving to learn, to relearn, to teach my, you know, the people that I come from to relearn how to love self. You know, when the brother asked the question of, why is there so much murder and self-hatred? It's because we've been taught to hate ourselves. When he talks about Willie Lynch, who many people, some people believe is a fictitious story, some people swear by it. You know what I mean? I don't go on either side. I think when I read Willie Lynch, I believe that it's an apt formula. You know what I mean? That if it wasn't, if it's not the gospel, it sure seems like the gospel truth. On how we were taught division upon division, male against female, you know, old versus young, light skin versus dark skin, you know, well-to-do versus poverty-stricken, you know what I mean? And we're still going back and forth between those extremes to our own detriment, you know what I mean? So my job as a human being is never done, you know what I mean? And as I advance through the ages, you know what I mean? I'm not a spring chicken either. I'm in my 40s now. I purposely will never divest myself from being connected to the grassroots community. I know that there are some of us who have been in the struggle for so long that we love talking to the converted. You know what I mean? And we get so high with our science sometimes we might as well be in the stratosphere. You know what I mean? But if we allow ourselves to, if we allow ourselves to stay up in the stratosphere, we risk not being able to connect with our young, with our people who are in the, on the ground, you know what I mean? And me, myself, I choose to stay as connected to the ground as possible. Though as an individual, I could get off on kicking it with some of the brothers who have elevated themselves because I've sought to elevate myself as well. But if my knowledge, if my wisdom, if my understanding is of no service to the people that I come from, you know what I mean, then it's a selfish thing, I believe, and I will never allow myself to, you know, to fall into that lot. So I say again, you know, we need to really seek to expand these discussions. It's great that we're doing it on Blog Talk. It's great. But we also need to be able to do that in the hood as well. And I know that I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I've been striving to do just that for the last 20-something years. Thursday evening, me and Sister Nicole, we are partners in a group, in an organization, community organization named In the Loop. And the mission of our organization is to bring our people up to the level where they can participate, where they're not just there, but they have an understanding. You know what I mean? They have an understanding of what they need to be doing for their own selves to be able to participate in such a discussion as this. It doesn't make no sense for us to, you know, to just leave it here. And I'm not saying that this is what we're doing, but I just say this because it needs to be said. It needs to be brought out on a community level. We need to be having the think tanks and the discussions like Brother S, who was on the radio the other night. We need to be taking it to that level in the communities themselves, you know what I mean, so that we can begin to grapple with, you know, the levels of self-hatred and self-defeat, you know what I mean, and a lack of self-pride, you know, that pervades our people. So, you know, that's what
quick
I just wanted to contribute
Mike.
For now.
Quick question. Do you have some contact information for that In the Loop? Website, phone number, anything of that nature?
Yeah, Sister Nicole will be able to give that to you. It's intheloop.org incorporated. You know,
okay,
you definitely, you can contact.
I'd like to, I don't know, register or whatever you got going on over there. I'd like to come and be a part of that.
Most definitely, brother. We need to do that. Most definitely. And yeah, brother, I'm like I said, we sit on the other show. I mean, it's great for us to be on Blog Talk, but due to the fact that I know you in Queens and I'm in the Bronx, you know, in the near future, brother, you know, we're going to, you know, I pray that we'll be able to break bread with each other face to face.
What's that? What bridge is that? Whitestone, Throgs Neck? That's like 20 minutes
exactly.
for me, baby. Okay, we can make it happen. That's not a problem.
That's
okay?
Right.
Okay, before I get to Sister Nicole, you said everybody had said some things here. I mean, from Willie Lynch, I mean, across the board. You know, Willie Lynch, to me, the formula is divide and conquer, okay?
Exactly.
Which, as far as I'm concerned, has been working, still in effect, you know. But there is also a formula to snap out of that, you know. Now, do we want to work the formula is the issue, you know, because there is a formula to shake that off. That doesn't have to be unless we allow it to be. And unfortunately, we are still allowing it to be. You know, I gathered from a lot of the comments tonight, you know, I don't disagree with any of the comments that were made tonight. You know, cause I really believe they were all on point. Even to the God piece that Sister Nicole brought into effect, because I really feel that we need a strong spiritual presence, a very strong spiritual presence in any change or greatness for African Americans. Spirituality led the way, you know, and that's my experience, you know. Also, I just lost my train of thought here. Sister Nicole, you go ahead and speak while I try to remember what I was going to say. Actually, we're at the end of live air. And see, behind what happened Sunday, I want you to say what you need to say, because, I don't know if it's just a technical problem or, you know, people listening and maybe felt they need to cut it off. But I know nothing was said Sunday that the show should have been cut off. So I'm going with technical problem, but I'm still, you know, things are suspect. Let me just say that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Of course, when we're getting together and we are empowering our people and we look like we're about to be a problem, things always get suspect. I am a great fan of Mike X, and I just want to say to his character, he always leads with love. He is about dealing with his people first, and I really don't think it's anything wrong with that. We always can refine our approach, and we always, you know, want to keep in mind that we want to be humane, and we have to find a way to be different from our counterparts. Because as long as we think like them, we're not different. And so I just feel we really need, like I said to Brother X, I said, we need to sit down and we need to reintroduce our culture. And like was said, in part of a culture is your morals, your values, your practices, your communication, your language, all these things in which we once represented strongly in the African communities in Africa, and at one point when we were brought over here. In the Loop Organization Incorporated, Brother Mike and I are partners. Our contact number is 718 area code 655 Loop, so that's 5667. Again, that's 718-655 LOOP, which is 5667. Our website is www.theloop-org.org. So it's not your traditional sense in how you spell In the Loop, like INTHE. It's the letter NTHELOOP. And we definitely, our mission in that is not only uplifting our community, but putting them on a platform where we can discuss and collaborate on the systematic issues and the social issues that are hindering our people from becoming unified and being prosperous within our own right and within our own culture. And we also provide services that would allow them to overcome economic and social challenges and barriers that are put in our way as a people so we don't unify. So we're bringing that connection back. We're bridging that gap between the people, and we are bridging that gap by coming forward with a humane sense, with a spirituality sense. We want, in order for us to expect change, we have to be it. And demonstration is the most powerful. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I heard.
I thought somebody was having a breathing problem. Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Sister. I got one final caller, but go ahead, sister.
Okay, I'll make it quick. We have to be that demonstration. And that's what Mike and I are going to do. We're not striving. That's what we're going to do. And as we educate ourselves not only on what's been going on and what is going on, but we go into a spiritual connection and education so we can be that demonstration that Jesus had been, you know, in a sense. And that's basically, you know, what I want to say. I just want to say we need to give back. I don't know if anyone remember this. I just want to bring this up real quick. When I was coming up, I remember the 5% as being on a corner. And that's where my awakening came from, being involved in those type of conversations. Or you had the Judas on Fordham Road calling white people devils, or, you know, trying to awaken our people. You notice how they stop all of that as well.
Right. But don't they still have the rallies up in the Bronx?
I don't hear of a lot. Well, we have rallies like if someone's son gets killed or you know, police brutality.
No, I was talking about the 5% nation.
I don't see any 5% as the way I
do. Not in the Bronx.
I don't see that. Every once in a while people say they be on Fordham Road still, but it's not as heavy as it used to be.
Right. I understand exactly what you're saying.
People intrigued and just transformed and trans by the information and what they were speaking, and then you will go home and research. We don't have that anymore.
Right, and they live by principle. They live by principles, and now it's turned into personalities.
Right, it's a culture, guys. It's a culture, and if we can get off the fact that we need to not separate ourselves from the race as being black and build our culture like every other culture does,
right,
and get involved and position ourselves and be true to the position, be true to the movement at hand. And like Brother Mike says, no, you cannot sway when everybody is uplifting their culture. It's okay to uplift
you
their culture and not be racist. It's
exactly.
Okay. It's
You're
okay.
Absolutely right. It is okay.
Yes, it's okay. And
it is okay.
We all,
and we
as like minds,
we have to do more of that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And as like minds, we need to stop trying to say this is what this is and this is what that is and this is what I believe. There's no I in team. Together, everyone achieves more. That's team.
That's right.
You know, it's not about, oh, this is how much I know. No, what we do know is that we are in trouble.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And we need solutions. Can we all agree on that?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let me get to my last caller, please. He's late. Okay, welcome, Brother Hess. Everybody's mic is open, so please welcome Brother Hess.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, everybody. How everybody doing?
Peace, Brother Hess.
Bless, brother. Welcome to tonight's show. Real brief, Brother Hess, because I'm going to close in about 8 minutes, and I want to get everybody's final statement.
Okay, I just wanted to just continue to thank everybody for showing up and allowing, you know, our higher power to show out through our spiritual values. Just real briefly, the Pops movement, you know, when I first wrote the Six Steps of Peace and was utilized by God in order to put these Six Steps to Peace together, you know, the first one is form a bond. Form a bond with someone that you're not normally, you know, used to being around, someone maybe of a different, you know, neighborhood. maybe a different organization, they're a different gang, a different culture, different religion, different races. And here briefly, man, it's Monday, we was asked to come into a high school to give a graduation speech. They know that we're all ex-convicts or current convicts. And the children wanted us in there, you know, because the children of South Dakota are killing themselves. 1 out of 9 children, it's an epidemic up there in the Dakotas. And on the reservation, they allowed our program to come in, and we gave a graduation speech to kids, and it went real beautiful. So I just want to thank everybody for their prayers and well wishes on that. Also, we're doing something in Chicago that's meeting up with a group called Switch Lanes, and actually we're bringing the kids into the parks, and we're giving them little tokens of mementos and hope and ideas on how to go build a lemonade stand or how to go take their Christmas money or their birthday money and go to the thrift store and get them some hedge clippers, some rakes, and some lawnmowers, and instead of clicking up and going and stealing, you know, hopefully they can learn some economic values. We're putting down blueprints for that. Also down in Florida, we got brothers that are committed with two sisters now. They're going out doing the peace rallies, and they're presenting the 6 steps to peace, you know, throughout the different communities. In Atlanta, we have the brothers going inside of the recreation departments, also going inside of juvenile hall out in California and in Arizona. So, you know, it's a commitment, man, that people are beginning to start to pick up and take hold to. You know, it's free of charge. And the only thing that we ask is that people be willing, you know what I'm saying? We just need willing participants that's willing to take the steps out there and give it an opportunity. And so we just continue to thank everybody for their love, their hope, you know, and the inspiration that you give here, Mr. Tony Nix, man. I can't tell you how much I'm motivated by you. You know, every time I look on the page, it's something that I can tone in on. I can actually gravitate toward and begin to mold and shape something off of it. You give me so many ideas, so much inspiration and hope. And I just thank everybody for coming out and continuing to do what it is that we do.
Thank you, Brother Hess. You know, there's no me without you. Know that. You know, I'm not the big eye in the room. Trust me on that one, man. You know, when I first ventured out in this, you know, I said it. I'm only one person. And Sister Nicole said it a minute ago. It's us. It's we. It's not me. You know, you're an inspiration to me. Believe that. You know, anytime some brothers can put it together from behind the wall, you know, I got no excuses. When I'm out here a free man. I got no excuses. Mm. You know, so that, you know, that moves me. That just that right there alone moves me. I got no excuses. You know, so I also thank you, Brother Hess. Trust me. Trust and believe. I mean that from the heart. You know,
indeed.
Listen, it's been a great discussion tonight. I'm going to get everybody's last comment. Sister Nicole, I'm going to ask that I think you said the event you were talking about coming up, something that y'all doing, if you wouldn't mind posting it on Enough is Enough's Facebook page, and I'll see that it gets around to everyone that I can. If it's not a problem for you.
I think I liked it, but I'll repost it again.
All right, please. Okay, I'm going to go with, for last comment, please be brief. I'm going to go with Brother Efren, the street educator out of Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, my God. I'm the most blessed man in the world right at this very moment. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you that's been speaking this evening. I am so proud of you. Please believe me. I am truly, truly proud of each and every one of you that's just now speaking because, my God, you're the need. If we don't save the mind of a people, we'll never save the lives of a people. And if we don't save the lives of a people, then there is no promising tomorrow for another generation of a people. So if I can hear you doing what you are doing at this very moment, speaking historically, speaking consciously, presently, and planning for a better tomorrow, just by people of the same culture, I am so proud of you. Please believe me. I am truly, truly proud of you. Thank you. I am a street educator. My name is Efren. They call me Mr. EC. If you need me, just please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And I'll do the best that I can. I'm no more powerful than you. You like I tell my own. Anytime you want to recommend how to strengthen me, please go to your mirror. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Efren.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Mike, final statement.
Yeah, okay. We're going to stick with this, brother. I want to say peace to the family again. It's an honor and a privilege to be in the midst of this. And we need to, I always say, you know, it's just in the call, whether it's just, you know, whether it's all of us talking or just two of us talking, one of the main things that we're going to need to do to educate our people is we're going to have to broaden the reach of these discussions that we're having. You know, the discussions that we're having bring hope, they bring life, they bring love, they bring light. And this is what our people need at this time. So we need to find a way to, you know, speak on all forums, across all forums. And, you know, like Sister was saying, bring it back out into the streets. You know what I mean? Bring it into the community centers. Bring it into the parks. You know, do it wherever you can. You know, please connect with me on Facebook. You know, Facebook is a good way to connect at this time, you know, and prelude to hopefully connecting on a, you know, on a physical, practical level. You know, it's Mike X Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N, Mike X Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N. I've also been putting a lot, you know, some information on the YouTube. You can get me on the YouTube by looking up Brother Mike X Speaks. That's B-R-U-T-H-A, Mike X, B-R-U-T-H-A, Mike X on YouTube.com. And, you know, I'm just here, brother. I'm just here. And we're locally rooted. You know what I mean? That's, you know, I think that's the strongest thing that you can do. You know, you got to root yourself locally. You know, the people in your neighborhood, you know, I believe, and I don't want to, you know, offend anybody by saying this, but if you're truly about your business or waking up our people, they should know you. You know, they should know you in your neighborhood. There's no way that you're going to be able to do this under the cover of darkness. You know, I think, and really be effective. You know, there's no way you're going to be able to do this, you know, just in the safety of your living room, you know, but when you come out on the street, nobody even knows, you know, that you, you know, what your mindset is or what you advocate. You know, we really got to get out there. You know what I mean? And I think first and foremost, we should take ownership of our neighborhoods, and then we should be accessible to support and collaborate and cross-reference with brothers and sisters from other neighboring neighborhoods, man, so that we can, you know, not only be strong with our own link, but also help the next brother and sister to be strong in their link as well. So thank you again for having me.
Thank you again for being on. Please come back and join us. Sister
thank
Nicole,
you as well. Appreciate it.
Final comment.
Yes, I'm mostly always the only sister online, right?
It's well, okay. Tonight you are, but trust me, there have been nights when there's only been maybe a few men in ladies' rooms.
I would have
so.
Put a part of that. I like to see my sisters get involved as well, because the one thing we have to do, I think, first and foremost within our culture is that the women men need to reconnect and learn how to respect one another and play our roles in our positions rightfully. You know, I in the Loop Organization Incorporated is on Facebook. I will put the page inside of, you know, the page link inside of Enough is Enough. I would like for everyone to join, because the one thing that the people need is the government machinery intelligence. And what I mean by that is not only understanding the government system that they are in, but to know how to navigate it. And we have to utilize this system to the best of our advantage, and as well as make sure our people that we are putting in place, because we put them in place, we have to be educated on who we're sitting in seats of power, that they are providing the opportunities our culture needs in order to become economically empowered and in position and in and involved. You know, like you said, Tony, I've been saying for a while, it's a dual government system. You know, and when you don't have the people, you have corruption. And I don't care what culture is in. Every culture has went through some type of, you know, discrimination or prejudice. You know, the Jews went through it. You had to have blue eyes and blonde hair. I mean, come on. We've all went through it. But the point of the matter is that they rebuild themselves. And how they do that is when they put their people in power, their people act out and show out and make sure that the culture.
Amen, amen, amen.
You know, and that's what we are just. And I, you know, I just encourage all of us today. I think we should all have a private meeting and identify what our culture is and then demonstrate that. I think that's what's needed. Honestly, we need to come to the table and reintroduce what our culture is. That's all I have to say. I'm Nicole Singleton in the Loop Organization Incorporated, Bronx Knight, and a Black African American.
Okay. Thank you all. Thank you so much for coming on. And I'm grateful for your support, you know, and your realness. You know, I didn't hear, you know, a lot of great stuff was said, but I didn't hear where someone was trying to sound more profound than the other. I heard stuff coming from the heart. You know, from the inner souls, and I'll be fiending for that. I'll be thirsty for that, you know. As a people, we need to be proud of our color, our heritage, and yes, we have the right to talk about slavery and what our people went through. Anyone who says we're being racist, they just don't want to hear it. They don't
right.
want to hear the truth. Just as others have the right to not let you forget the Holocaust.
That's
okay?
right.
Right.
We have the same right to not let folks forget about slavery right here in the U.S. of A. And quiet
right.
is kept.
It's
Black folks were part of the Holocaust. Okay? That ain't
Amen.
Talked about a whole lot. That's not talked about a whole lot. But we were a part of that also. Okay? You know, I know I'm getting kind of excited because I got a passion, you know, and I get a little emotional, but I love
so,
us. And I'm going to keep loving us, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
That's right.
Tell
okay.
me no more,
I don't have
Columbus.
To. I don't have to. Yes,
tell me no
we
more,
were born
Columbus.
As the human race. Yes, we were. But the Black race today, okay, is in bad, bad shape. If we don't do what we need to do for us first, then how are we going to do anything else?
Exactly.
That is the,
Amen.
That is what I'm gathering from all of y'all. Not that ain't just coming from me. I'm listening to y'all. So first things first, we got to clean up our own house. Before we go in other people's house, we got to clean up our own house.
That's right.
First things first.
House,
we got a lot of work.
Our house is dirty. That's the problem. Other people are cleaning up their houses. Hispanics,
we got to clean up our house.
Absolutely.
And as a people, we can do it. We can do it through awareness.
We need the healing.
You know, we can do it like Mike said. You got to get out there. Talk to people. Let people know what you're doing. Network with folks. Get each other involved and make this happen by any means necessary.
That's right.
Amen.
I like
by
what the brother
anything.
Said about Malcolm X after he did his pilgrimage. His mindset when he came home was totally different. Totally different. See, Brother Malcolm, for me, though he was taught by those who uplifted and brought him to the peak where he needed to be, okay, he decided that he was not going along to get along.
Mm-hmm.
That was the impact that Brother Malcolm made to me in the world. I'm not going along again.
Amen.
And we shouldn't have to.
I found out my horizons has been broadened. And I found out some stuff that y'all were not telling me. So listen, as a people, we got some work to do. Our communities are under siege due to gun violence. our youth, troubled youth,
well,
and adults committing self-inflicted genocide. We got to act now. We don't have no time to wait. Nobody's going to do it for us. We are the cavalry. The solution is in us. It's in the mirror. But first of all, we got to address things like being accountable. We got to learn to start being more accountable for our conditions. We want our politicians to be accountable, then we got to be accountable. It begins and ends with us.
That's right.
Real simple. Real simple. Listen, I want to thank everyone that called in tonight. I want to thank my listeners, those of you that's been in the chat room. It was a pleasure tonight. Again, my name is Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. If no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I. Peace and blessings.
Sweet.
I'll be in touch real soon.
Peace, peace, peace.
One more thing. The sooner we have no violence in our communities, the sooner we will know peace. That's KNOW Deuces.
Together, I've been a kind of protection that's all around. I come on.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.